Liz Corey.
And I'm Katie King.
And this is
True Crime New England,
Case Profiles Edition.
Hello, welcome back to another mini episode.
Thank you for joining us on what is, I hope to be, a holy and warm, probably not, beautiful Sunday. We're always happy to have you here.
Hell yeah.
Specifically for our case profiles because they are just so very important. And I think they're super important because they truly were your brainchild, Katie, and you've done a great job thus far.
Thank you. I think it's really important that we do this because, and if you guys are not familiar, our mini episodes, our case profiles are where we tell you, as well as each other, about cases of people of color in New England who just do not get enough coverage, whether it's from the media, law enforcement, and we've noticed that as a result, an alarming majority of the cases that we cover are unsolved.
Exactly. We cover things like murder, suspicious death, abductions, disappearances, truly a whole bunch of things, and all of people of color, because as you just said, the media just does not cover it enough. And with our podcast, we are the media. So we are taking that in our hands and we are making a change. And today, on our 33rd installment, it is no different. How this works, unlike our normal episodes, is Katie will tell a story to me and you, our lovely listeners, and then I will tell a story to Katie and you, our lovely listeners. I have not heard Katie's story. She has not heard mine. Our oohs, our ahs, and our questions are all genuine. We have not heard these stories, and we are all hearing it for the first time. I know today my story is unsolved and unsatisfying. Katie, I don't hope anything for your case except that it's solved or at least has a conclusion that provides answers for your family involved. But the look on your face is telling me that there are none.
No such luck.
Okay. And that is also very typical of our case profiles due to the lack of media attention. Sometimes there's one article, two articles. We often are going through our list of names and have to put them aside for just an Instagram post because there's not enough to even make a 20-minute episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. And we are here today to change that. And I think so far, you've done a decent job.
I would have to agree.
So, Katie, it feels right that you, of all people, i.e. you and me, because we're the only two people here, should start us off today.
I'm going to be telling you, Liz, as well as our lovely listeners, about the unsolved murder of Tilly King.
Tilly King. That's a great name.
Powerhouse name.
Yeah.
This was actually suggested by a lovely listener, Darlene C., via our email.
Thanks, Darlene.
My sources today include a whopping 3.
Wow.
One from SavageWatch.com and 2 separate articles from WPRI.com.
I love Savage Watch.
I do too.
It's so disorganized in the best way. It's like such a blog. I love it.
It's so fun.
It's good.
John Gomez, nicknamed Tilly King, owned a well-known bar he named Tilly King's.
Oh, nice.
So,
sure.
In Providence, Rhode Island. Tilly was reported missing on Thanksgiving Day 1984 when he never showed up at the bar for work.
Wow.
Police were told by 2 witnesses that they saw him get into a car with 2 men.
Hmm.
Providence Police Major David Lepotin stated, quote, "We believe that Wednesday before Thanksgiving, when he went missing, it was due to some arrangement that he had with somebody within the mob, the local mob."
And this is in Rhode Island, you said?
Yep.
That makes sense because our friends at the mob have a huge presence in protecting Rhode Island.
If you guys don't listen to our full episodes, you might not know, but Liz and I have an inside joke regarding the mob.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm very serious when I discuss the loyalty and love I have for the mob. Some would even say that I heart the mob.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
John's body was found 5 months later.
Wow.
20 miles away off of the I-195 highway in Westport, Rhode Island.
Huh.
This is when detectives realized that John had been murdered.
Yeah.
You know, they were thinking, he's missing, he disappeared, we have no idea where he is, we don't even know if he's alive, and then they found his body 5 months later.
Did they think he disappeared due to the mob?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And then they found his body.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
His body was located 85 feet away from the highway by a man that was driving by. I don't know if he was just looking out the window or was a little distracted, but pretty close.
I wonder how long his body had been there then, mm-hmm. if just simply a man driving by were to notice it off of a pretty busy road.
Right.
Wow.
He had a single gunshot wound to the head.
Okay. Yep.
Yep. Police feel that John's death is related to the mob. However, at the time, they were still investigating specific suspects.
Okay.
One of which was a notorious mob enforcer and member of the famous Patriarcha crime family, allegedly.
Sure.
Named Kevin Hanran. Allegedly.
Good guy. Very friendly. Just kidding, I have no idea who that is, but I'm sure he was a peach. Very loyal.
The Patriarcha crime family is, you know, the mob presence, yeah. The mob presence in Rhode Island.
Notorious.
Notorious, you know, and we
love them.
Hold a lot of respect for them, quote unquote. You know, great guys, I'm sure. Yes. And just really
family-based.
Really family-based.
Yes.
Really, you know, even recruiting, one would say, right. Members into their family.
Right. Yes.
Bristol County District Attorney Thomas Quinn stated, quote, there was no corroborative evidence that would have led to charges at the time. Mm. The conduct would not be inconsistent with what he's done in the past, so we have information that he's linked to it and we're going to review the case.
Hmm.
Kevin Hanran was known for assaulting others, robbing others, especially drug dealers,
yeah.
And of course, allegedly,
right.
Murdering others.
Oh.
He is a suspect in several other murders, such as the murder of the alleged mobster Raymond Slick Vecchio in 1982.
Allegedly, though.
You know, no idea.
Yeah.
Not, like that officer said, nothing is corroborated.
Right.
And it's really, really, really difficult to pin crimes on mobsters.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not like they commit crime all the time. So
no,
I'm really
no,
not
no.
sure.
Right. No, of course. And they're also really talented at what they do.
And they have a lot of resources.
Very resourceful men. Very.
Sometimes within the police force.
Yes.
Because we all know the police force is very corrupt. Not so much the mob.
No.
But the police force is very corrupt. So it's not uncommon for them to perhaps form what one may refer to as an alliance.
Correct.
As did business owners. You know, sometimes business owners, which is what they thought happened with Tilly King,
right.
Maybe formed, not really an alliance, but kind of like a
partnership.
A partnership.
Sure.
An unbalanced partnership.
Right.
Where maybe right. business owners for protection would pay off members of, allegedly, the mob. And if they didn't pay up, or maybe they didn't fulfill their end of the bargain, which wasn't really even.
Sure.
But it was not uncommon for areas where, allegedly, the mob was, for business owners to maybe fork over some cash.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. For protection, because the mob does protect and serve.
It does protect. Who it protects is not important at the moment. So, the mob is, yes, they do that.
10 years later, Kevin Hanran was gunned down, leaving a Federal Hill restaurant on September 18th, 1992.
Wow.
The gunman was never charged, but authorities believe that it may have been Edward Lotto, also part of the mob scene, or so they say.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. He hasn't been charged, no one's been charged, but Kevin Hanran was murdered 10 years later.
Okay.
John's daughter, Toni Lynn Bonady, said that her dad's bar was the place to be.
Yeah.
Especially on weekends. Everybody loved him. He was always at his own bar. You know,
nice.
He had other staff, of course.
Sure.
But he was just kind of a figure of the area. Everybody wanted to be at Tilly King's.
Nice.
Everybody wanted to hang out at Tilly King's. And it was just, you wanted to be there.
Yeah.
Lines would form. Everyone would want to go there to socialize. Like, it really was an atmospheric, just fun place to be.
Nice.
So the whole community really, when Tilly King went missing and then was found dead, they were terrified, they were shocked, they were devastated.
Yeah.
Because everybody knew who this guy was. He was so well loved by the community.
Yeah.
And it just is really, really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Toni was just 24 years old at the time of her dad's disappearance, and she continues to advocate for justice for him.
Aww.
Where the mob is supposedly, allegedly, you know, involved. That's kind of who they're thinking was responsible.
Right.
It may not be likely that they pin whoever it was or the multiple persons potentially that abducted and murdered Tilly King, especially if they were thinking it was the Kevin Hanrahan character and he himself was murdered and his murder is unsolved.
Right.
But Tony's just doing a wonderful job. You know, she loved her dad so much.
Yeah.
Everybody in the community loved her dad so much. And I can't imagine being just our age now, 24, and having something like that happen to our dad.
Oh my, I can't, I literally, I have goose pimples. Like, that instantly my heart went.
And regardless of his involvement with the mob, you know, it wasn't like he himself was in the mob. It sounds like he just was using them in some way for maybe protection or just kind of.
Yeah. Like, they parallel.
Want, yes, yeah. Absolutely. And so it really just is so unfortunate that that happened, and it's not any fault of Tilly King's, and it sounds like he was a wonderful guy by all accounts, and you know, I wish Tony the best, and I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, you know, mob jokes aside, there is a man who was loved by his family and the community and was abducted and then murdered.
Right.
So anyone with any information about the murder of John Gomez, a.k.a. Tilly King, is asked to please contact the Providence Police Department at 401-272-3121 or the Bristol County District Attorney's Office at 508-961-1918.
Wow.
And that is the unsolved murder of John Gomez, otherwise known as Tilly King.
Terrible. Just terrible. Oh, wow. Very devastating. Mine today also unsolved, but a disappearance.
Ooh, okay.
Instead.
Wow.
Yes. I'm going to be telling you the story of the disappearance of Stefan Sow out of Dracut, Massachusetts. My sources today, I also had three, which was a miracle. Although two of them could count as one because it was Web Sleuth and Reddit, which are, you know, those are threads. It's a lot of people just chatting, but people do post articles and stuff.
Totally.
So I have those, and I also have CBS News Boston.
Okay.
Stefan Sow was 21 years old and living in Dracut, Massachusetts with his dad and his siblings. On March 8th, 2019, Stefan and his father got into an argument about Stefan cleaning his room. This is what his dad says after the fact, and we only know what his dad says. I guess this argument was pretty intense, pretty boisterous, because it really got to Stefan, and he stormed out of the house in, like, a huff. He was just not having it. I'm sure there was something going on elsewhere in his life where that was just the tip of the iceberg, you know?
Yep.
Where it just, him getting badgered to clean his room was just too much, you know? We've all had moments where you're having a really bad day and then you drop your coffee and it's just, you're just, you break down crying or whatever because it's like.
Absolutely.
Of course that happened, you know? That's what I'm imagining maybe was going on here. Maybe not, but for whatever reason, he was really upset. Because he didn't want to clean his room or whatever. When Stefan didn't return the next day, that's when the panic started to set in, as it usually does. It wasn't until March 10th, though, so 2 days after he stormed out, that he was officially reported missing. After he was reported missing, police discovered that his cell phone pinged off a tower in Westford, Mass., which was close to the Dracut area, on March 10th. So he was still nearby. On March 16th, so about 8 days after he left the house, Stefan's Honda Civic was found over 150 miles north at the Pinkham Notch Visitor Center in the White Mountains of New Hampshire.
No way.
Yeah. The Visitor Center is basically like a huge parking lot, you know, at the base of Mount Washington. And it's like, you know, it has like information and like a bathroom and probably like vending machines and stuff. The drive from Stefan's home from Dracut to Mount Washington in New Hampshire would have been roughly 2 hours and 45 minutes, give or take. It's a long haul, for sure. After Stefan was reported missing, New Hampshire Fish and Game received several reports from different witnesses that believed that they may have seen him. These reports were saying that he was seen around either Cutler River Drainage, which was on Mount Washington, or near the Mount Washington Auto Road. So all the witnesses said they placed him near where his car was found. This led Fish and Game, and also police officers, to search these specific areas in, like, the immediate days following his disappearance and the discovery of his car, because they wouldn't have been led to Mount Washington without the discovery of his car.
Right.
Obviously, they hoped to find literally anything regarding Stefan, even if it meant recovering his body. You know, whatever they could do, they just needed an answer. Like, where was this young man? Everyone was also really surprised to find Stefan's car near Mount Washington, as Stefan wasn't a hiker. His experience, according to family members, was, quote, only a handful of day hikes in ratty sneakers. Yeah. Mount Washington is, parts of it can be very difficult to hike. Like, I personally would not hike it, but I also have trouble with stairs, so.
Yeah, no, you need to have equipment. Like, yeah. At least hiking boots. Mm-hmm. You have to bring supplies with you. Lots and lots of water, lots and lots of snacks. My sister's a hiker. We've gone hiking a couple times. Mm-hmm. She is literally right now training, going to the gym quite frequently, doing smaller hikes to hike Mount Washington. Yeah. Like, it's not something you can do on a whim.
A lot of people, you see this everywhere. You already know what I'm going to say. Bumper stickers that say, this car climbed Mount Washington, because it's a difficult hike, and a lot of people just drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Once Stefan's car was found, they found a receipt inside. And the receipt showed that he had actually purchased a new coat, new boots, a backpack, and ice picks. Mm-hmm. It was clear, due to the receipt, he'd recently purchased those items, and obviously he was preparing to go hike. However, that doesn't make him an experienced hiker.
Correct.
It gives him the tools of an experienced hiker, or even just a basic hiker, but it doesn't make him someone who could easily survive a night in the wilderness of Mount Washington, especially in March, which I know is not the winter, but in the mountains, it is.
And Mount Washington has some of the most severe weather in, if not the country, the world, statistically.
Historically, yep.
There is a weather base at the top, and a lot of people really, just out of curiosity, like to check the weather up there.
Oh, yeah.
There's already snow.
Yep.
There was snow well into September, October.
Oh, yeah.
It reaches negative degrees. Storms famously come out of nowhere. We're talking whiteout blizzard conditions where you cannot see your hand in front of your face.
Nope.
If you do not know what to do in that situation, if you are not prepared for that situation, you know, a coat and ice picks are great.
Sure.
But we're talking multiple layers, spikes on the bottom of your hiking boots, gloves, warmers, a tent maybe if you get stuck up there.
Yeah.
Like, you really, it's something you need to prepare for.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And the winds up in Mount Washington are also extremely powerful, like record-breaking. So this kid, he needed years of training to survive out there, if that's where he ended up going, which it sounds like he did. Additionally, in several articles, Stefan's family is quoted as saying that he did have some mental health struggles, which, I mean, who among us, for real, but that makes it really seem like we all know how this probably ended, if not purposefully, on accident.
Yeah, it sounds like this was very impulsive, like a very impulsive decision.
Right. So, to this day, Stefan has not been found, and the question obviously still remains, where is he, A? Did he go to the mountain to clear his head and just never make it home, or did he intend to not make it home, you know? Regardless, he's missing, and his family needs to know where he is and deserves to lay him to rest.
Absolutely.
I don't have a number for you to call. There isn't one. I would say if you know something, if you were in the area in March of 2019, contact the, you know, Mount Washington police.
Yeah, New Hampshire Fish and Game, especially. Yes,
absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, because there's no way. That's a really tough climate to navigate, even for experienced hikers, and he was not that.
Especially in March, where it's probably still snowy.
Absolutely.
It might be difficult to figure out what is the trail and what is not the trail.
100%.
Especially in March, I know that a lot of people hiking, you know, even just in the spring and summer, can mistake an animal trail, especially a deer trail. You know, we have a lot of white-tailed deer, especially up in the mountains. Yeah. Moose, mm-hmm. will clear trees, have yeah. their own little paths that could look like a hiking trail
yeah.
if you're not really paying attention or don't know what to look for.
Yeah.
So it could be very easy to get off the main trail, and then you have no signal, you have no service, you can't call anyone, you can trip and fall.
Yeah.
Anything could happen.
Absolutely.
Oh, that is so devastating.
Very sad. Yeah, that is the mysterious and very heartbreaking disappearance of Stephen Sow out of Dracut, Massachusetts, which, you know, doesn't matter really how it ended or, like, if it was criminal or not. It's just very sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was doing the research and I was like, I think we all know what happened to this poor boy. But he still deserves to be returned to his family.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, guys, we always, of course, want to know what you think about these cases. And we also want your case suggestions specifically for case profiles. We still have plenty, but we're always looking for some. If you have any case suggestions for people of color in New England, please send them our way, whether it's through our email, truecrimeny@gmail.com, our Instagram, truecrimeny. You can also go on our website, truecrimeny.com, and go and send us your suggestions there. We are always, always looking for them.
And I will say, I always throw this out there, our website submission tool on our website under our Contact Us page does allow you to be anonymous if you so choose. If you leave your name, of course, that's a good way to get a little shout out at the top of the episode. Thank you again, Darlene C, for suggesting the case that I covered today.
Mm-hmm.
But you can absolutely always be anonymous, especially if it's someone that was close to you or maybe has suspicious circumstances around their death, like mm-hmm. gang-related, the mob.
Right.
Supposedly.
We love the mob.
Always. And if you don't know what we're talking about with the mob thing, we do have merch on our website while you're already there. But seriously, no pressure. All we want to do is get these cases out there. And no case is too small. If you're looking at one and feeling like, I don't know, there's only one source, it's just not a whole lot of information, you guys would be surprised at what we can do with just a little bit of information. But even if we don't have enough for this kind of format with an episode, a mini episode, we will put it up on our website and our Instagram just to get it out there so we're not back at square one. So do not let the lack of information hold you back from suggesting anything to us.
Absolutely. Well said, Katie.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll see you on Thursday.
Bye.
Goodbye.